There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get ready for today's episode of Benched with Bubba, let me talk to you about Draft. Draft.com, Draft in your app store, is a great way to play fantasy sports. And right now, they have NFL best balls going and going strong. Go check it out. It's a great way to play. You draft. You don't worry about it. They take your best scores each week. It's a ton of fun. Use promo code SDSports when you check out, and you'll get entry into a free $3 best ball tournament. So go check it out. Draft in your app store, draft.com, promo code SDSports when you check out, and enjoy a great, fun way to play fantasy sports. Now to this week's edition of Benched with Bubba. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 106. Going to talk some fantasy football. I'm doing it from a consistent angle. And consistently, we had this guy on the podcast last year. Does a great job in the fantasy football world. Big Guy Fantasy Sports. Many have heard of their great website. We've talked to a few of their contributors. And like I said before, we have talked to Mr. Bob Lung. You can find him on Twitter at Bob_Lung. Bob, how are we doing, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me back on. It's good to be back with the show. Man, 106 episodes, man. That's a long time. I'm proud of you, man. That's good stuff.
Thanks, man. It's just plugging along. Most weeks I'll do double duty, and some weeks I'll take a week off. Depends on what's going on. But You know, with baseball midseason and got football cranking up, it's time to get back at it. So that's why we're here, to talk some fantasy football with you. And you are Mr. Consistency. You've been doing this for how many years now, Bob?
Oh, wow. Well, I've been writing about consistency since 2002. So basically 16th, 17th year here. Been playing fantasy football since 1985. So I'm one of the old schools guys here in this world. But just love doing it. Love, sharing this knowledge that I kind of have gained from putting consistency in play for my leagues and playing against other experts across the country and the world. And, you know, it's been very successful for me, and a lot of people are starting to kind of catch on now, and I'm glad, and the book's selling well and the website's doing well. So it's just great to kind of be here and share that with all the folks.
And let's talk about the book, the 2018 Consistency Guide by Bob Lung, and just some other contributors in there. And we talked about Big Guy Fantasy Sports is the place where you can go find it. Big Guy FantasySports.com. Great information in this. What year of the book is this? You said it was 2002?
Well, no, the book is actually only 3 years old. Okay. The book, and if you want the hard copy, the printed copy, because I can't, I don't have my own printing press here, but the printed copy you can get off Amazon. Just search for the 2018 Fantasy Football Consistency Guide. You can get it off there, off Amazon. You can get the hard copy that way. Then on the website is the whole package where you can get the consistency report, go on there, put in your own scoring method, that kind of stuff. The guide is there. It's updated. The tier draft list is updated. Everything's there for you. But going back to the book, so I'd say 5, 6, 7 years ago, I've always been asked once a year by some, maybe one, maybe two of the typical fantasy books that you're buying off the book stand somewhere in a Barnes and Nobles or Books a Million or whatever that you're going to, or even at Walmart. And you see all the fantasy books there. And somebody always asked me, hey, you know, would you like to share your consistency stuff in the book? And I said, great. And I would write an article and put it in there. But a few years back, I was trying to push some people to say, hey, you know, I have this idea that in those profiles that people, you guys do for all these player profiles, what if we could add some consistency information in there as an added bonus? And a lot of them thought the idea made sense, but it was just squeezing it into that very little space that they already have taken up a lot of information with. And so, you know, I guess, sadly, it didn't come to fruition. But on the positive side of it, I went, what if I wrote my own damn book? You know, so why don't I just put my own player profiles with my own consistency information? And I, you know, and then, of course, kind of found out how Amazon does it and how you can get it printed and, you know, found out all the rules and regulations of getting a book in place. And so I started that in 2015 and, you know, mild sales, a little bit better sales the year after. And, you know, so it's growing now. And last year was, you know, chosen, you know, there was a point where it was actually ranked number one under fantasy sports for best, you know, for best selling guide. Always battling out with my buddy Joe Pisapia and his fantasy black book. But hey, the guy's got 11 years in a row, number one. It's kind of hard to beat him out. But I did for a little bit of a time and got to hold that title briefly. But his book's great as well. And, you know, and then got nominated for, you know, by the Fantasy Sports Writers of America for the finalist for best guide. And it's just as blown up from there. Cheat Sheet War Room chose my guide as the best of the year from their perspective. So it's just, you know, somebody said, wow, this overnight success is awesome for you. And I said, yeah, but it took 16 years for my overnight success. But you know what? Maybe that's just the way it was supposed to go. And I'm okay with that. And like I said, I love doing it and love putting it out. And so, yeah, the book's really only about 3 years old.
And it's a great story. Like you said, you've been working on, what's the reputation is the right word? Cause you built that way before 16 years.
I call it street cred.
Yeah. There you go. Like your ability to get this whole thing running. And it's a great story to tell. There's so many new writers every year. We see so many and they're always looking, you know, how am I going to make money? How am I gonna do this? And it takes time. You have to be willing to put the work in.
And you have to come up with something different.
Yes, you know, consistency is different.
Right. And, you know, that was the whole idea when I did this was nobody else was doing it. It was my idea. There was a few people like Tristan Cockcroft has always put some stuff out on ESPN. And, you know, every site has their twist and turn on it. But I made it all about it, you know, and I did it 100% all in, you know, trying to create different numbers, different ways, you know, trying to almost put it. I mean, there's no way you're going to get football into the fanalytics scenario of baseball because there's just not enough stats to do it. But that was my thing. I mean, one of my idols, I guess, and my mentor as well was Rob Chandler in this whole thing, who, you know, I just happened to know through a baseball webs or a fantasy bulletin board site. And I showed him what I was doing and he's like, you know, stay with it. He goes, there was years I wanted to quit and years I wanted to give up and I didn't think people cared. And he goes, and then, you know, 20 years later, I'm selling a $28 guide every year, and, you know, and it's one of the best in the industry and still is, even though he's not associated as much with it. And, you know, that was my thing. He's like, do what you're doing. You've got something unique. You have something different. Expand on it, share it. And that's what I would tell any writers who have asked me, like, what should I do? I'm like, find a different twist. I go, you can't just write and say Le'Veon Bell's good and expect people to go, oh my gosh, he's a genius. You know, it's just not going to fly. I mean, and you can, you know, and I've seen people, they've certainly been bringing out some different twists and stats and, you know, points at, you know, yards after catch and, you know, targets. And, you know, every year they're finding new things. And that's it. That's the way to do it is finding those trends that you can kind of use to be effective to have that edge when you go into your draft and use it as part of your draft arsenal. You know, I always said, my thing is not all encompassing. Don't just take this. you know, get other statistics, get other websites, get other things. You know, I'll never say that I'm better than Fantasy Alarm or Roto Experts or Fantasy Guru. I'm not. I'm, you know, I said, I always feel like I'm the fries in the Happy Meal.
you know, well, it's the old story. If you can't learn from other people, then you're probably fooling yourself and just putting blinders on, because there's always something to be learned by someone else at all times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, and that's it. You know, and people will share with me ideas like, you know, hey, I was thinking about this, and what do you think about that? And I'm like, yeah, no, that makes great sense. And I could see that happening. And, you know, so I learn from them, they learn from me. And that's, you know, kind of the fun of what this industry has become, because really it's been a bunch of people like us, you know, who started with their own ideas and their own things. I mean, Matthew Berry started just like you and I, you know, just had his own website, created his own idea. And next thing you know, he's the man on ESPN. Mike Clay is, you know, all these guys have all started at the same spot you and I have. And, you know, that just always gives me hope that, yeah, maybe someday when I'm 75, I'll be on ESPN as well. No, probably not.
on the Ocho. But yeah, no, it's a great point, and definitely people need to look into that. Now let's talk about your consistency guide. And I don't want to give away all the secrets, obviously, because people need to purchase this great guide. But just I want to kind of get a rough idea, if you can explain, what are you looking for with consistency? What are you trying to accomplish with your consistency guide when you're evaluating your talent?
Right. To me, there's really two aspects of consistency. It's identifying the players who are consistent, but don't score as many points as people, you know, everybody kind of focuses on how many points did they score last year and where did they rank? So, you know, if this guy was top five in fantasy points last year, then he must be awesome. And he could be, but let's pull in the consistency. Was that guy also consistent with scoring those points and the consistency factor combined with the top five scoring? So if he's top five in consistency and top five in scoring, then yes, you have a complete player, and that's what you're after. But on the other side, if you have a guy that scores really high points, is inconsistent, then now this is what I'm trying to show people is don't just look at that total points. Don't just look at that factor. Look at this factor and combine it and say, you know, this guy scored a lot of points, but he's inconsistent, or this guy didn't score as many points as his numbers would show, but he had the consistency that offset that. So he's probably undervalued going to the draft because everybody else has him way down. So it's really the inconsistent and consistent players and identifying those for people to add that to their draft prep to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to stay away from Cam Newton, or I am going to be looking at a guy like Mike Evans who might be better than, you know, his numbers overall showed last year. So that's the kind of stuff that the whole consistency guide's all about.
Yeah, and a great way to utilize this guide from what I've looked at in the past is, you know, like you said, anybody can say Lev Bell's good. Well, anybody can go to an ADP list and go, okay, here's the 10th, 11th, and 12th wide receivers getting drafted. Right. Now you go to the guide and you can differentiate on which really separates the three that might be a little underlying that you've broken down by position in your book. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big factor to it.
Yep, definitely.
Let's talk about a couple players that many might not think are consistent, maybe not the greatest players. Maybe that means they're later round draft picks or whatever. But when you really look at it, they're kind of the more safe, consistent ball players you want on your roster to fill those kind of last few spots.
Yeah, so I'll just kind of go a couple examples by position. So believe it or not, last year, the most consistent quarterback that played more than eight games. So we're taking out Deshaun Watson and we're taking out Aaron Rodgers because they only played seven. The guy who was the most consistent at 75% last year was Matthew Stafford. Now, Matthew Stafford right now is sitting probably quarterback 10, 11, 12 in most drafts. Probably not even, you know, some people may even overlook him and pick a Jared Goff or, you know, somebody like that ahead of him because there's, quote, more upside. But Stafford has just been he's never been super, super consistent. In fact, this past year at 75%, that's actually been his best year ever. But he's always in that 65 to 75. So, you know, you get him as your backup and you might have him as your starter for most of the season, especially if I was in a league where I had Aaron Rodgers and had Stafford as my backup. Stafford still got me to the playoffs after Rodgers went down because he was very consistent the second half of the year, really helped me through those tough times. So he's a guy that a lot of people don't think about but definitely is as well. At the running back position, you know, there was, believe it or not, the one of the most consistent guys last year was, you know, a lot of people probably don't think about was Carlos Hyde, but that was in San Francisco, and now he's in Cleveland. So it's a tough one to judge. But one of my the guys who his numbers didn't look bad, and I'll tell you a little bit about him and see if you can guess who it is. So he ended the season ranked 16th in total points. His consistency was 63%, which ranked him also around 16th. But I'll bet you his ADP is probably outside of RB outside the top 24. But in the games where his quarterback actually played, his regular starting quarterback till he tore his ACL, five out of those six games that that player played, when that quarterback was on the field, he was 5 of 6 for clutch games, 80% consistency, and I'm talking about Lamar Miller.
Yep.
Lamar Miller, when Watson was on the field, was almost perfectly consistent in those games. But when Watson went off the field and the quarterback situation was a disaster, the only person who was really doing any scoring in that league and that team at that point was Hopkins, because the you know the defense was a mess. They lost Watson. I mean, it was just a whole mess there. But you know, this year he's outside the top 24. I'm drafting him as my RB3 in most leagues so far. After I have a good consistent two, and you know he'll be my flex guy. And I can see him starting off hot. Now, I've also drafted usually, you know, Donta Foreman just to be safe at the end of the year. If they just – if something happens, they might put him in. But Lamar Miller is kind of my guy that's kind of grossly undervalued at this point as well. At the wide receiver position, a guy that was actually top 12 in both consistency and total points last year was Marvin Jones. And a lot of people, again, going back to Detroit, don't think about that. Everybody thinks Golden Tate. Golden Tate wasn't far behind. He was only one clutch game behind. But Marvin Jones is right up there as well. And then a tight end, one of my favorite guys every year is Kyle Rudolph. Back-to-back seasons, 75% consistency in both years. Even Gronk didn't do that. So, you know, that's a guy who's going in 7th, 8th round in most PPR drafts at this point. You know, they bring in a probably a better quarterback in Kirk Cousins, but a guy that certainly loved his tight end in Jordan Reed in Washington. So, again, he'll probably be on a lot of my teams because I can load up on wide receivers and running backs and maybe a quarterback in the first 6 rounds and then grab Kyle Rudolph and his consistency in the 7th. So that's kind of the guys that, you know, I feel like are a little undervalued at this point, each position.
No, I love that. I think the Kyle Rudolph call is great because – people like to reach on their tight ends, and he's always sitting there in the middle rounds where you can definitely jump on that one. So I love that a lot.
Especially with guys like Gronk and Ertz and Kelsey that are all going in 2nd, 3rd round this year. Which and I'm like, crazy. I just can't do that. I mean, they're good, and they'll score, you know, they'll score 3 or 4 points more on average per week than Rudolph will, but the consistency was almost the same. Kelsey and them were 80%, Rudolph is a 75. That's not much of a difference. For four or five rounds.
Exactly. Who you could be drafting in that round compared to round 7 is completely washes that away. Right. So definitely something to look at there. And the question marks like Gronk and everything, different story. Right. Who are a couple kind of maybe picks that go early in the draft that people think are kind of, oh, this is good to go. This is what this guy does. This is why he's drafted high. That in reality maybe just had like a fluky year or really isn't that consistent a player.
Well, my poster child for that is one Cam Newton. So Cam Newton last year was third in total points overall. And yet his consistency was 44%. Oh, now, wow. In layman's terms, what that means is only 44% of the games that he played in was he scoring enough points to be worthy of a QB1 status. That is pitiful. And when you have a guy like that who at the end of the year puts up big numbers when he is big, but then has duds week after week outside of that, that's when you sit at the end of the year with your team and you go, how in the hell was I the 2nd highest scoring team in the league and my team didn't make the playoffs? That's why.
I got a question with Cam. Now, the way you described that is he was third in points with 44th consistency. Now, obviously, we're going to keep talking about season-long stuff there. But if you're going on a DFS angle, is that, like, if you see something like that, you know, he's kind of a boom or bust guy. Is that what you were kind of looking at there?
Right.
Okay, so you can look for so many reasons.
You know, so, you know, as you mentioned with the guide, so one of the things that all the profiles in the guide has is the how they do home and away. So kind of like I call them game scenarios. So how do they do home and away and then against a good defense, bad defense? So for a perfect example, not Cam Newton, but I'll bring up Ben Roethlisberger. At home, his consistency is 90%. On the road, 45%. So there's a guy when you're looking at DFS go, well, he's playing at home. And when he's playing at home against anything other than a top 10 defense, he's perfectly 13 for 13 consistency-wise. So there's like DFS. So you can use this guide for DFS purposes as well. In fact, our good friends, you know, Colby and Ron, Ron Regney and Colby Conway do a whole thing about how using consistency in cash games can really help you out. And they were very successful in that. But, you know, Cam Newton, here's the problem. Cam Newton is inconsistent in every game scenario. So his best is 67%, and that's at home against an average defense. At home against a bad defense, so you're talking about bottom 10 defenses, only 55% over the last 3 years combined. Wow. And on the road against a bad defense, he's exactly the same, 54%. So that's the thing is Cam is – when Cam won the MVP – his consistency was less than Matthew Stafford's was last year. Even when he was number one in fantasy points, he still missed five clutch games. That's how inconsistent this guy is. I won't touch him in any round.
Yeah, because eventually it's going to really fall apart, basically, and that's going to be not time to be there. Last question for specifically for the book, per se, and you have a whole chapter on it that people can read up on. And I want to know, like, how do you evaluate rookies' inconsistency? Because obviously we don't have the years of NFL knowledge to use for the consistency factor. So how do you evaluate them when you draft them, or do you just not draft them at all?
Well, I draft very few of them, I'll have you know. So as you mentioned in the guide, and I've done this every year in the guide, I started tracking the stats. I went back to 2010, and I just did the first four rounds. And, of course, only the positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And so in the guide, you know, it shows you, you know, the by rounds and how they were drafted by rounds, et cetera. And then what it does is it says, you know, it shows that, you know, so since 2010, in the first four rounds, those four positions, there have been 340 of those players drafted. Then I break down and say, how many of them in their rookie season exceeded just a 60% clutch rating? So that's good, not great, but 60%, which is above average. And only 30 of them have made that cut. That's 8.82% overall. Now, the running backs double that number at 17%. So the running backs have been more successful coming into the league. Hence, guys like Zeke Elliott and Love Bell, you know, those kind of guys. And so, you know, when I look at this, I go, okay, I can see Saquon Barkley having that potential to be over 60% consistent. He's coming to the right team, right situation. He'll get the touches. There's really no competition. You know, no, he's not coming into an offensive line like Zeke did a couple of years ago, but it's still the right opportunity. But what it also shows is guys like Royce Freeman, Rashad Penny, those kind of guys in questionable situations, not the best. We don't know what to expect. Are they in the right system? Those are the guys that seem to fail more often than not. Those are the guys I stay away from. Now, if I'm drafting and I got Saquon Barkley sitting in front of me, 10th pick overall, I'll probably draft him because, yeah, I think he's got that potential. But in the fourth, fifth round, and I'm looking for my RB2, I'm probably picking Lamar Miller, Kenyon Drake, Alex Collins before I'm going to pick one of those rookies. That's how I evaluate them. That's what the numbers show, that has been the kind of the trend for them, is that they may slip through. I mean, there may be one of those guys. Maybe Royce Freeman becomes, you know, a top 10 back this year. It's certainly possible, but he could also be, you know, nowhere and be 40% consistent and kill you.
And there's always going to be some that just, you know, break the mold, and that's just, that's the beauty of sports. Right,
like Kamara.
Yeah, it's just how it works. But right. but I'm with you. Like, you know, the Saquon Barkley, the Ezekiel Elliott, they're a different level of rookie compared to others. And I get no more satisfaction in like a home draft, and we're all sitting around a table, and I watch a guy walk to the board in like the fourth, fifth, sixth round or whatever, and they go take that rookie wide receiver, or they go and take the running back. I'm just like, oh, thank you. You just made it so much easier to take my next pick. Like, you didn't take the obvious choices. Thank you very much. Take the shiny new toy.
Exactly. No, and that's it. It's the shiny new toy. And, you know, and it's funny because when I compete in these expert leagues, I see a lot of these guys take that risk. And I know what they're doing. They kind of take the, I call it the Matthew Berry effect of, let me pick some shiny new toy. And then at the end of the year, if it works, then I can brag about how I knew the shiny new toy would work. What you won't hear about is when the shiny new toy doesn't work.
Exactly.
You know, and I always say, 100%
what it is.
Yeah. And I always say at the end of the year, you know, I'd much rather say, you know what? Alex Collins was consistent last year. Didn't, you know, got injured, or maybe there was something happened with Baltimore that just it didn't work into the plan, than to say, well, I took a shot on this rookie hoping that he would be great, because I have nothing to base that on. At least I know Alex Collins proved that he could be consistent last year, or Kenyon Drake could be consistent. I don't know what these kids could do when they come in that system, in, you know, because just because they're great in college doesn't mean that, you know, Joe Mixon was a perfect example last year. How high did he go in a lot of drafts? He was second, third round. And everybody was all about Joe Mixon and how great he's going to be and all this and that. I didn't have Joe Mixon on any of my teams, and I was so happy.
Yeah, there's always a handful of those. And
we take this brief break from Benched with Bubba to talk to you about RotoWear. It's one of the best quality shirts in the industry. When I mean industry, all the clothing industry, the fantasy sports industry, because people are rocking it. They're loving it. You're seeing it in a lot of big outlets now. No other brand can compete with RotoWear in terms of quality. They're premium blend fabric, super soft, comfortable, athletic fit shirts. They specialize with a special printing process. The design is part of the shirt. Literally, it is dyed and bleached into the fabric. No thick ink. There's over 30 different designs right now. It's just crazy all the stuff they have coming out, and there's more and more stuff every time you turn your head. They have fantasy football, baseball, hockey, basketball, some really cool DFS ones, but everything's great. They have men's, women's, and kids. Check them all out. Go to rotowear.com, rotowear.com. Check them out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at RotoWear. But the cool part, guys, if you use the promo code DEGENS, DEGENS, you get 20% off your order. Again, promo code DEGENS, DEGENS. Check their site out. Check them Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. They're always giving away free shirts. And then when you go to purchase the ones you want for you, your loved ones, your friends, your family, whatever, use promo code DEGENS, DEGENS, for 20% off your order. Now back to this week's episode of Benched with Bubba.
Let's talk about some players now. We can kind of put some consistency twists on them and just kind of talk situations. And one I didn't put on the outline, but I saw you tweet about him earlier today, I believe it was, and you've already mentioned him two or three times. And as a Dolphins fan, I have to ask, Kenyon Drake, you're a big supporter of him. I loved what he did last year, but it seems like they just don't want to give him the job. They went and picked an early running back in the draft. They have Frank Gore, who everyone's talking up all of a sudden because, you know, apparently at 40-something years old, he can still be a star running back in the NFL. I don't see it, but somehow he can.
Yeah.
Can you explain to us what you're seeing in Kenyon Drake that's saying, yes, I can go with this?
Well, first off, as you said, I don't know how Adam Gase can – how he couldn't have watched that second half of last year and go, yeah, this kid can do it. This kid's got it. I think the Frank Gore thing is – Frank Gore is basically going to be let go out of Indianapolis. He certainly wasn't the future. He has a relationship with Adam Gase from back in the San Francisco days. And Gase picked him up, and I think he brought him in as a mentor, slash, you know, give him a few, you know, spells here and there just to give him a break. He may use him as a goal line back because he's obviously Frank Gore and he's a beast. I can't imagine that Adam Gase is going to go 50-50 with these guys. I mean, that's just not – this just doesn't make sense. He saw last year that Drake was the better of all those guys with Damian Williams and all those players. You know, the early draft pick, again, my thought was, for whatever reason, they like that kid. That's fine. Maybe they just felt like, well, this, if Drake doesn't work out, then I guess we'll have another young, you know, guy in the backfield. But in my thought is that Gase is smart enough as an offensive coordinator to know that you got to put your best player out there. That is Kenyon Drake. He showed his consistency. He showed that he was worthy. He could catch passes out of the backfield. He was a good player. I think he gets, you know, somebody asked me about the splits today in the tweet. I said, I got to believe it's 80-20. And again, a lot of it will be game flow. You know, if they're behind, he'll probably be in more because Frank Gore's certainly not a pass catcher. But, you know, if it's fourth quarter and they're up 2 touchdowns, yeah, they might play Gore a little more and let him, you know, run the ball and, you know, grind it out for a few series, maybe more than normal. But I think overall, I think you're going to see that Drake is going to be worth that RB2 guy that I have him at.
No, I like that a lot because I agree. And, you know, Adam Gase really has to think about his future right now because, yeah. You know, as good of an offensive mind as he is, there's a hot seat. They're turning guys over quickly in Miami for some reason. So right. he's got to think about that too. Some of the big news that came down today is Le'Veon Bell. He's not going to sign an extension or a contract with Pittsburgh. He's going to eventually agree to the franchise tag, which he's very unhappy about, of course, because it stinks making $14.5 million. But it sucks. But obviously, in the grand scheme of things, he's worth more than that on this game they play. But he's already flat out said, I'm probably not coming to camp. There's rumors he might sit out part of the season, half the season. And there's different stories for different folks.
Right.
But you can't blame him. Why waste your legs on a team that doesn't want to pay you, I guess, is the theory. Mm-hmm. What's your approach with a guy like Bell? Because most of us don't draft till closer to the season. We'll have a better idea on this. Right. But he's obviously one of the best in the game. He's still one of the top four running backs going off the board. How do you look at a Le'Veon Bell in this situation?
Well, you know, there was some other things I saw later in the day. Both came out from the GM of Pittsburgh and Bell himself. And it seemed like there was a kind of a kissy-kissy makeup kind of tweets back and forth of, oh, you know, I'm sorry we let you down, fans, but I'm going to be here for the Steelers, you know, and I know they're going to keep me long-term because we're going to get this done. And so, you know, at this point, but then on the other side, like you said, I saw his agent said that he was pretty much done in Pittsburgh. So I think it's just going to be a lot of the chess match of, you know, who's going to do what. I wouldn't be surprised if he holds out like he did last year and he'll come in late in the preseason. He's not going to go out and get himself hurt in preseason. He'll probably come in a week before the regular season starts like he did last year. You know, that worked out well for the Browns because, you know, Browns held him to only like 32 yards rushing and they play them in week one again. So maybe Cleveland can upset him in week one. That's what I'm shooting for as a Browns fan. I'm okay with him. You know, now if it gets the closer it gets, the more edgy everybody's going to be about it. I think at this point, let bygones be bygones. I'm going to draft him, you know, number 2, 3, 4, somewhere in there after Gurley. So, yeah.
No, I agree because we've had this issue with him for a couple of years now. Okay, he's going to miss a game or two. It didn't affect his draft position. No, like he's still that good. He's that much of a game changer. Right. You just go with it. I'm just curious to see how far. But I kind of agree with you where I could see him going, okay, fine, I'm going to show up, I'm going to play, and they're going to go from there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk Carolina Panthers. You know, Christian McCaffrey, some love him, some hate him. Great in PPRs, standard leagues, a little different. No one ever thought he could carry the workload. Boom, here comes C.J. Anderson to save the day as the new Jonathan Stewart in Carolina. How do you approach these two when you're looking at, you know, maybe consistency or a draft? We'll go with, you know, PPR type leagues.
Right. Well, I mean, I think anytime you're looking at a guy that comes in like that, you have to look at the value of when you're drafting him and what his ADP is. You know, McCaffrey's ADP is about where you expect it to be. I think it's third round, fourth round. PPR, I have no problem drafting him as an RB2. Even though I've seen him ranked as an RB1 in some rankings, that's a little too high for me. I don't think I can take that chance on him as an RB1. But I'm drafting C.J. Anderson like it's my job at this point because he's going in rounds 12, 13, 14. Why would I not pick this guy? I mean, he probably will get the touchdowns, you know, the goal line carries. He's really not that bad of a back. I think he, you know, but Denver was just a hot mess last year with that quarterback situation, and you know they were trying to get Devontae Booker to be better than he was, and he still isn't. And so I think C.J. Anderson just felt, you know, and the Broncos felt it was time for him to move on. Carolina said, that's fine. We just lost Jonathan Stewart. He's old. Let's bring this kid in. He's not that old. He's, I think he's only 27, right?
He's 27.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not like this kid is over the hill. He's not 30. So, I like you said, as long as his ADP value is in this range right now, I'm going to draft him every day of the week as my RB 3, 4, 5, you know, depending on where he falls. Like I said, in the Scott Fishbowl, I think I got him as my RB 5. So I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's outstanding. I was always a big fan of Jonathan Stewart in that offense when he was healthy, and AKA what you have with CJ Anderson. Now, like you said, Anderson's always been, for the most part, a timeshare, even if it's 60-40 or maybe 70-30. Mm-hmm. Right. So his legs are still fresh for a 27-year-old in theory.
Yeah.
There's a lot to like about him, and we know how Carolina runs their offense. I don't see it strain too far from that. So I think it's great right now. According to Fantasy Pros, he's the 43rd running back off the board, one about pick 107.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can definitely enjoy that.
Exactly. Like I said, I think as he gets closer, especially if preseason you see him running the ball well, his ADP will skyrocket. So, you know, if you're in drafts now like I am, or if you're doing some of the big, you know, big expensive drafts, NFCs, you know, or some of those, now might be the time to get in a draft and maybe grab some of those guys like him before the ADP gets too high.
Yeah, because once camp starts and a couple of preseason games, the talk will really start flowing, like you said. Mm-hmm. So some interesting news I saw come out is I like Jay Ajayi. I think he's a very talented, quick back, kind of a Darren Sproles-esque, maybe a little bigger than Darren Sproles. Philadelphia is talking about making him a full-time power workhorse back. And I don't know if he's built for that. This isn't the Mountain West of Boise State anymore. This is a little different in the NFL. What's your thoughts on that? Because I'm worried it's going to take away value from him with that kind of workload.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not a fan of Jay Ajayi. Nothing personal.
That's fine.
Because my thought was if he was good, Miami wouldn't have let him go.
Yeah. I've heard he's a locker room problem.
And, yeah, so my thought was, you know, he's got these degenerate knees or whatever that are a problem. You know, last year, you know, during the playoffs when he should have been the workhorse back, they still used Clement a lot. They just never seemed to feel comfortable that he could be the guy. And his consistency is horrible. He was that year that he had three 200-yard games.
Yeah,
he was like my poster child that year instead of Cam Newton for inconsistency. And last year when everybody was drafting him in like the top two or three rounds, I didn't want anything to do with that guy. And, you know, again, I pat myself in the back for being right on that one. But, you know, then he gets shipped off to Philly. Everybody thinks, OK, now he's on this team. They're two Super Bowl champs. He's going to be great. And, you know, that's just not Doug Peterson's thing. Doug Peterson likes to keep fresh legs out there. You know, he's kind of like a Belichick-esque kind of thinker, you know, putting the right plays and the right players and the right schemes. And it doesn't matter if you're Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, Darren Sproles, whatever. If that fits at the time, that's who he puts in. And I don't see them making him a workhorse back. They can say it all they want, but until I see it, I'm not believing it, and I'm staying away from him.
Yeah, right now, Ajayi, the 21st running back, 45th overall. And you go down to Corey Clement, 46th back, 143. Would you rather take a chance on Clement or just leave the whole Philadelphia situation alone?
In a PPR, I've actually drafted Clement as like my, you know, running back 5 because, mm-hmm. you know, if Ajayi gets hurt, but if those knees give out, then they're down to pretty much, you know, Clement and Sproles and, you know, was it Pomfrey or however you pronounce his name? Yeah. You know, they're going to just intertwine those guys. And Clement could, you know, Clement scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He almost would have been the MVP if it wasn't for Foles.
That backfield in Philly is interesting because Pomfrey out of San Diego State, it's a small little kind of feisty back. You got Ajayi and you got Clement. None of them are like world beaters, but they're all super talented. And you wouldn't be shocked if any game one of them had their moment. It's just one of those
and teams. The amazing thing, yeah, I mean, I almost see that backfield like I see New England's backfield. Like,
yes,
if you get the right guy at the right time, good for you, but you might as well just roll a dice to figure out who that's going to be that week, because it you just never know. So, yeah, I'm kind of staying away from the backfield. Like I said, I have taken Clement late in some drafts as a, you know, just a backup just to see what happens. But, you know, I can see Clement being a good best ball guy.
Oh, definitely for that. Let's talk about a quarterback who many are thinking might take that next step in year two now. Has a good new offensive coordinator. He's the 26th QB going off the board to pick 168, so maybe a super flex option, a backup option, or maybe we're just reading way too much into the changes. What are your thoughts on Mitchell, not Mitch Trubisky, in Chicago these days? The weapons are there. He's got options finally.
He does. Again, I think he's one of those guys that I have to see it to believe it. I didn't think much of him. In fact, I can't tell you how hard I was praying on draft day that the Browns were going to take him instead of and I think I may have shed a tear when Chicago picked him number two overall. I just wasn't a fan of his. I don't follow college all that much, but he's a Cleveland kid. He's from our area, so there was a lot of hype about him coming back home. But the kid played in North Carolina. That's not where quarterbacks, you know, live and breathe. I don't know. It seemed like he really never showed much to give me any confidence that, okay, if he just had some weapons, he'd be okay. So I'm not buying into it yet. I'll stay away from him this year, see how he transcends. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's okay. There's a lot of other quarterbacks to draft, but I'm just not feeling it. I'm not. The only guy I'm really into this year in Chicago because of his value and his potential and who I think Trubisky's going to help is Jordan Howard. Because last year, Jordan Howard couldn't get anything going because Trubisky was not ready and didn't get it going because they were trying to rely too much on that scenario. I think Jordan Howard's consistency will go back up. I'm drafting him as my RB2 in a ton of leagues right now. I think that's who Trubisky's improvement will greatly affect more than anybody else, in my opinion, on that team.
I like that call. I was big on Howard last year, and I agree. When you look back at it, they would stray away or they turn into a passing game, and you put the backup in or the little speedy man. So definitely took away from him. So I agree with you there. Tariq Cohen had a lot of fun last year. And I think that gets cut back also. Everyone's on that bandwagon. But yeah. Let's talk about Buffalo, and I don't want to talk about the situation legally because that's a whole nasty mess that we don't know the correct answers to.
Right.
And we can go into that some other day when the rules come out. But let's say Shady doesn't play, and I think until it's handled, he probably shouldn't play. It's just there's way too much going on there.
Right.
So Chris Ivy right now is the option. I thought maybe this was a great DeMarco Murray place. Obviously, he comes out and says he's retiring, but now there's stories coming out. Hey, there's still teams interested if you want to come play. And he's only played 7 years. So the legs are still there, but I respect the fact that, you know, he says he wants to be with his kids. That's awesome. Go do what you got to do. But Chris Ivy, we've seen flashes of goodness with New Orleans and the Jets from time to time, but nothing for a full-time load. What are we looking at with a guy like Chris Ivory? Is this somebody that, you know, if Shady's out, we're taking a chance on? Because Buffalo's going to be bad.
Well, that's it. You know, and that's what I even said. So I updated the guide this weekend, and as I do all through preseason for any significant situations and changes. And my update in LeSean McCoy's profile was, I didn't like Buffalo's situation before this came out. I like it even less. Now, does that mean Chris Ivy has no value? No, he definitely has value because who else is going to run the ball? I feel like Buffalo is going to be, you know, the Cleveland Browns this year. They're going to get – if they win a game, I'll be shocked, to be honest with you. They have a terrible, you know, offensive line. They now may not have McCoy, who's their only really talented person. They either have A.J. McCarron or Josh – is it Josh Rosen?
Yeah.
Or is it Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
I always forget which Josh. So either way, they're basically starting a rookie. I mean, McCarron certainly hasn't played that much. This situation is bad. But on the other hand, what that could usually mean is garbage time. So a guy like Chris Ivory, who can catch the ball in the backfield in a PPR league, he might end up getting 10 catches a game and maybe 100 yards in total offense because they're losing 35-10. So I could see stuff like that happening that could make him worthwhile. It's the same way as maybe a guy like Kelvin Benjamin, who might, you know, see some, a bunch of targets too as well, Charles Clay. So, you know, garbage time is doesn't, you know, there's no deduction for garbage time fantasy points. So that's the only thing I could see, you know, drafting them late, stashing them on your bench if it's deep enough, and then, you know, see what happens and see how that situation plays out. But yeah, it's ugly. It's real ugly.
And I'm glad you mentioned the garbage time, because there's always teams like that. You know, a few years back with the Bears, you had Cutler and Brandon Marshall and all those guys that would just the fourth quarter, all of a sudden they each have 20 plus points. Like, where the heck did that just come from? All the time. It was like clockwork.
I had a guy. Bortles and Jacksonville a few years ago was like that. That year when Bortles and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns had a big year, all three had a big year. It's because their defense was awful and they were always playing from behind.
Well, that's a great point. There's as ugly as the situation is, if the value dictates, you might be able to play. And
Ivory, that's one thing. How you get them.
Exactly. That's one thing Ivory did was catch the ball out of the backfield. So you can check that out. Let's go to Tennessee, where another place where the offense is supposed to be better with LaFleur and Mariota taking the next step, so on and so forth. You know, all the good offseason storylines. Derrick Henry, the guy supposed to be the workhorse back this year, is what they're saying. He's never had that load, obviously. It's always been a mix with DeMarco Murray. They bring in Deion Lewis, who was very, very good in New England, and for the most part was the workhorse there in a New England style. How do you look at a guy like Derrick Henry and how that's all going to play out there? Because you either love Derrick Henry or you hate Derrick Henry when it comes to fantasy right now.
Well, I'm one of the rare guys. I'm kind of unbiased. I really never had him, so I never would draft him high enough because everybody would draft him too high, and I was like, okay, but they have DeMarco Murray. So I didn't hate him because he wasn't on my team. Most people would play him against me, and he wouldn't do anything, so I'd win. So then I liked him even more. So it was, it's a love, you know, I'm okay with him. I think the situation, it's still a little up in the air for me. I really kind of want to see maybe like that third game in preseason to see how they play that out. You know, I got to believe, you know, if, just looking at it logically, Henry gets the first and second downs, you know, and then Deion Lewis is third down. But if it's third and two, they might leave Henry in, or they might put them both in. I can see them both being beneficial. PPR format, for sure, they're both beneficial. I'm not drafting either one, you know, before an RB2. You know, I might take one or the other as an RB2. I'd rather have one or the other as an RB3. I don't know if they'll fall back that far. I don't think so. I think their ADPs are probably both close to the late 20s, right?
Yeah, Derrick Henry's going 36. He's the 18th back off the board.
Okay.
And Deion Lewis, the 27th back, going 64th.
Okay. So Lewis is, you know, just over that RB2, and Henry's within the RB2. You know, but I could, you know, so I would say, in my opinion, the value is really more in Lewis in a PPR format. But again, I'd have no problem if I'm sitting there and, you know, again, guys like Collins or Drake or all these guys are gone and Henry's sitting there. I'm okay with Derrick Henry as my RB2, especially if I have like a Gurley or Bell, or, you know, where I'm very confident in the consistency of my RB1, then I'm certainly fine with Henry. I mean, I'm not expecting him to be a world beater. I'm not expecting him to be an RB1 overall at the end of the year. But I think he can easily be an RB2.
And I think that's a good point you make in the PPR leagues, because you got to remember LaFleur's coming over. He was with Atlanta with Washington. Chris Thompson. Shanahan, and those guys that love using the running back in the passing game. Right. We just saw Gurley torch PPR records almost, felt like, last year. He was running the ball like crazy and catching the ball like crazy. Deion Lewis is phenomenal in that role. Derrick Henry does not have the best hands in the world.
Right.
So it makes total sense what you're saying. You could almost enjoy the two-headed monster when it comes to fantasy.
Yeah, no, it may be one of those, like, almost like Atlanta was a couple years ago with, you know, Devonta Freeman and Coleman, where they both could end up being easily, an RB1 or RB2 be valuable.
Let's get bold. Can they be this year's Saints of Kamara?
Ooh, I don't think they can both do that.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. I don't think the offense is made for that, because Mariota is more of a, you know, running – you know, passing quarterback. He's not a Drew Brees. you know, plus I just don't know if that, you know, that's a whole new situation for them. However, you know, they do play in a very poor division with the Colts and you know, the Texans are, you know, better defensively, but, you know, they had their issues. What's that division? Jacksonville. That makes it tough. So it might be a little
Houston
tough.
With Wildback. It'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting. Yeah.
If you had to pick between the Tennessee twosome or the Carolina twosome, which one would you rather have?
Oh, definitely the Tennessee one.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Last one we want to hit on, and I think I've asked every guest that I've had. I've only had three or four football ones so far, right. But this one's just perplexing to me. Jerick McKinnon, I respect everything he does on the field. He's a very good running back when he's time-sharing. He's never been that guy, and they want him to be that guy in San Francisco. He's the 13th back off the board going pick 23. What are you looking at the guy Jerick McKinnon coming into the year?
Well, I'm going to the guy because really that's the only way to kind of explain, you know, this player in my mind. And, you know, I look at, you know, so the profile says, you know, shows last 3 years, which all were in Minnesota. You know, his best years were basically the past 2 years he had 6 clutch games each. So 38%, 40%, he missed a game in 16. He was 17th in total points last year, which is respectable. But let's remember that they also lost, you know, Dalvin Cook early, and it was basically him and Latavius Murray. You know, down the stretch, Latavius Murray became more the main back there than McKinnon. Mm-hmm. McKinnon only earned 3 clutch games after week 9. So I look at all of that, and I go, okay, based on that, not a fan. But now I look at the other side of this and go, okay, but this guy is going to a Kyle Shanahan offense that is certainly one of the best at getting the most out of his running backs. He's calling McKinnon his Devontae Freeman, and he's calling Matt Breida his Tevin Coleman. And I go, okay, there's a positive side of this. So where am I at? And where I'm at is, first off, there's no way in hell I'm drafting that eye.
That's my thing. Sure.
If Jerick McKinnon was, again, I kind of look at him like a Derrick Henry or a Deion Lewis. If I've got a Gurley, Bell, Johnson, Zeke, RB1, and I've got two good receivers and I'm in the fourth round and I'm looking at a McKinnon, I'm going, all right, I'll take a shot. It's a PPR format. There's certainly potential, but I tell you what, I'm basically going to make sure I get Matt Breida later, because if that kid doesn't work out, Matt Breida could become the Devontae Freeman He becomes the Tevin Coleman. But there's no way I'm drafting him as high as he's at right now. It's just, people are just out of control. Yes, he's got the potential. He's in the right situation. But he's still Jerick McKinnon, and he's had opportunities to be the lead back. He was last year. He had it last year. And basically Latavius Murray pushed him out of the way the last 5-6 games of the year. And Latavius Murray was rushing for 100-some yards a game. So that tells me that Latavius Murray is now still sitting pretty much on the bench, and McKinnon goes signs for $40 million. I didn't figure that one out at all.
No.
Especially after they let Hyde go, and Hyde signed for only $5 million in Cleveland.
That one, I have no clue what happened. I thought Hyde was great last year. I thought he was a perfect fit in that offense. You mentioned the consistency. Yep. And for $5 million, it's not like he's old and washed up. Like,
right. Yeah, he's 26, 27 as well. He's only like a year older than McKinnon, I think.
My only guess is he had to go back to Ohio to collect his Buckeye ransom.
That's fine.
He had to get in state. Yeah.
I was giddy until they drafted Nick Chubb. I had Carlos Hyde in the top 24. I had him as an RB2 all day long in Cleveland until they drafted Chubb. And now I'm kind of scared because they're just, I don't know what to expect out of this team. I'm still drafting Hyde like as my RB3 or 4. And I'll take a chance on that still, because I still think he's the guy that should have the first opportunity to prove his worth. And if he knows Chubb's right behind him, then I think he'll go out there and play his ass off, especially the fact he's in Ohio again. But, you know, so I'm at least taking a shot with that. I don't have to make him an RB2 to do it, but he could end up pulling off, you know, being a pretty good value, I think. But we'll just have to wait and see, because this is all, I mean, this whole team is so new in Cleveland. I don't even know what to expect. I live here. But, you know, I'm excited for it, but I don't even know what to expect. I mean, good God.
I was about to say,
you guys had pretty much rearranged our whole team.
You guys had a heck of a makeover, but at least you did it with some real good talent. Like, said, you don't know how it's going to come together, but there's a lot of talent there now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it may take a few weeks, but, you know, I can see us being at least very competitive. And we're definitely not going to lose every game. I don't know if we'll go 8-8 like Mike Clay says, but I'm hoping he's right.
I haven't looked at the schedule hard enough, but I have an idea of where it is based on where they finished last year. 6 wins wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. No, then you get, that's already a great improvement. You maybe run into a couple more in a, you know, field goal games, and heck, you never know. Yeah. So
yeah,
that could be.
Like I said, we catch the Steelers off guard with Bell holding out, and you know, they kind of forget that they're playing the Browns, and the Browns are a different team. And next thing you know, we could knock them off in game one. Yep. That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. Well, Bob, that'll wrap things up. Why don't you give everybody one last notice on where to get the consistency guide and all that good stuff?
I will. Thank you again for having me on. I really appreciate it. Consistency guide, you can get it on Amazon. The printed copy can be shipped to your door. If you're a Prime member, you get it in 2 days. Remember that. And today is Prime Day on Amazon. Not that I'm getting any commission off that, but hey, I don't think they're giving – maybe they have my book on sale today. I don't know. You can give it a shot. But you can get that on Amazon. Also, you can go to the Big Guy Fantasy Sports website where you can get a full access, $19.99. Get you the book, the tier draft list, the consistency report, all of the articles, all season long, 100% information. You can email me all your questions, be there for you as well. That's available. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at Bob_Lung. So again, thanks for having me, my friend.
Always, man. I highly recommend it, people. I have a lot of people I like in the industry, and this is great, great content. He's a great guy that really, really knows his stuff, as you can tell. So go check it out. It's always a pleasure having Bob on the show. It's a tradition unlike any other already. So I'm looking forward to doing it again next time. Like you said, maybe we'll do it before the season starts again.
Let's do this sometime mid-August.
Yeah, we'll check it out. But until then, everybody, go check out the book, The Consistency Guide, over 175 player profiles. Great stuff for all your sports, season-long, DFS, you name it, it's in there. Go check it out, and check him out on Twitter at Bob_Lung. But this was Bench with Bubba, episode 106. Catch you guys next time.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.